OTB's Mount Rushmore. 32 counties. One county representative choosing their sporting Mount Rushmore. Some decisions are easy.
And I was seeing teachers who had never expressed any emotion whatsoever lose their mind when Sonny was running in that home straight, trying to catch that gold spot.
Others are controversial.
Mayo's greatest celebrity fan now helps him earn his place on Mayo's Mount Rushmore is Kevin Kilbane.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
George O'Connor, 17 summers in purple and gold.
And catch the live decision making over the next few months on OTB AM, live every weekday at 7:30 AM on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network.
Now, happy to say over the weekend, GAA action resumed and we have two very familiar names to tell us how things went on the ground and how things are going. We have Andy Moran of Ballyhadreen alongside his 15 seasons with Mayo, Footballer of the Year as well in his time. And we have Johnny Doyle along with his 15 years and All-Star winning year with Kildare, also very much of Alan Wood. Johnny, Andy, you're very welcome. Thanks for the time.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, hi, how are things?
So I have Andy at a whippersnapper 36 years of age and I have Johnny Doyle at 42. Is it not time to wrap it up, Johnny? I think you're done, no?
probably about 3 years ago, but love it. I suppose it gets me out of the house and I'm just trying to keep in with the young lads now is a challenge at the moment, but still enjoying it, I suppose, and the body is not too bad. So as long as the manager thinks I've something a little bit to offer, I'll stay at it, you know.
Well, I'm sure he does. Fair play to you, still going at 42. Andy, how are things on the ground then? Protocols, no dressing rooms, the new normal has been much talked about. How was it for you guys?
Yeah, I think it's bizarre in many ways. But then, in other ways, when you get playing, it's basically just football. And I think the move away from the kind of dressing room scenario has been coming in club football over the last couple of years anyway. You know, in terms of fellas leaving the dressing rooms, it's something that we were trying to, I suppose, move away from in our club, that fellas might stay around, have a sandwich, a cup of tea after the game, because that had drifted away out of our club. But now it's kind of, that's what we're encouraging people to do. And it's a bit strange, but when you get back playing, it's funny, the kind of normal kind of scenarios kick in. And it was good to get moving at the weekend. You're saying there to Johnny, he's 42. I was at a Ballyhadreen junior game on Sunday, and Aidan Higgins, that used to play for Mayo, is 45, and he was playing for Charlestown and ruling the roost. So Johnny, you've a couple of years left in your head, I think.
How did you get on at the weekend, Johnny?
Yeah, we won by a pint. Did well to hold on in the end. I suppose we do. We were in cruise control 5 minutes to go, and we were fighting for 5 points up, and they got a goal. We had a goal disallowed, and they got a goal, a couple of pints. So we held on in the end. So we're glad to come away with 2 points in the first round of the league, you know.
And I presume there was huge interest in the area, Johnny, and you could have had way more than the 200 that showed up, or was it quiet enough?
No, there was a bit of interest. Obviously, we played Carra, which would be a local enough club. A lot of our lads would have went to school in Prosperous, so would know a lot of the Carra guys. And so there was obviously a little bit of interest. We wouldn't have played each other too often in the past, but we're... Both teams find themselves at the moment we're in the same division. So, there was a good bit of interest. It was you got a ticket going in at the gate, and you had to queue at the gate. There was a line of cars going into the field. Someone collected the fuel bob and you got a ticket. So there was a bit of interest there. No, I haven't heard of anybody within our club that was refused entry or turned away. Which is good. But it was certainly a good interest in it. I'd say this time last year, if both teams had played, you wouldn't have had the same crowd at it. I suppose maybe supporters were starved of competitive football, and it was a lovely sunny Saturday evening. So made for a great ingredients for a good spectacle, I suppose.
Well, the word was out. Johnny Doyle was in the mood. You know, word got around town, and people said, "I got to see this."
Jordan, we're looking for the money back on the way out.
What about your neck of the woods, Andy? Were you cars similar situation? I think it is a limit of 200 people at the moment. Were people being turned away? Was there bigger interest than usual?
No, I think it was around that. I think that's something similar to what we might get at a club game anyway. Throughout the years, we'd have a wide open field. I think there's something like 11 acres in the whole kind of surrounding of the two fields and things like that. So it's very hard to keep people kind of out at the same time, you know. But they, in fairness, we did it. You know, the COVID officer is there. They're watching people going in and out. The physios are outside, you know, so there's a lot of work being done around the club just to kind of keep it kind of as safe as possible. And I think people kind of adhere to it. I think some people are staying away as well, if I'm being honest. But good interest. Our league was pulled in Mayo, so we had a competition called the Michael Walsh League. So it's a bit of a kind of pre-season tournament. So it was a decent game. We played Davits and it was a decent game, to be honest, all in all. And what I found amazing in Mayo was that the scoring was so high. Like, there was games where there was 420 scored and things like that. So it's funny how it kind of works out in terms of skill level and scoring rates and little things like that. But in terms of the safety and the difference, it was kind of well-mannered.
And is training impacted at all, Andy? Like, in many respects, if you're back, you're back. You know, you're just going to get into tussles. You're going to get into combat with people, and that's just the nature of the game. Or are you trying to change training to make it somehow safer in ways I can't quite offer up to you?
Yeah, I can't either. But it's that's the biggest contradiction that I have. I do the coaching with the team now at the minute, and we'd be in the gym and we'd be like trying to keep people 2 meters apart. They're 16 meters, they're square meters between each other in little zones, and you're only allowed into your own zone. And then you go to training then on a Wednesday or Friday night, and you're telling fellas to be tackling. And it's a funny one. It's a funny situation, but it's training isn't impacted really. Only that you bring your own water bottle. You're not allowed into the dressing rooms. Lads are talking out of the stand. But in terms of when people go on the pitch, the lads just want to play football and kind of get onto it. It's refreshing in one way, because for that hour and a half, you can kind of break free of kind of the worry of COVID and little things like that. And it's just nice for the lads to get away from it.
I'm sure it is. And how are you finding things then as you make your first foray into life away from the Mayo setup? I suspect you have incredible friendships. You know, Mayo is like a club team in many ways. And to try and maintain those friendships and not talk about how Mayo football is going is very difficult for you at the moment.
Yeah, I think Johnny probably went through this a bit. It's when you leave first, you're still texting the boys and you're still ringing, meeting for coffees and you know, the normal stuff that you've always done. But then you have to realise then the loyalty of them boys now is to the manager, to the team, and no matter who you are, I think, especially myself, I'm inquisitive. I like to know what's happening. I do ask the question. I do. So I've moved myself away from that a tiny bit. The friendships are still strong. Obviously, I met Colin Boyle at the weekend. We were playing his club. You meet Keith and you meet the boys around the place, Donny Vaughan and these guys. But you try your best to keep away from it and try not to kind of, I suppose, put them into an awkward situation where they've played with me for 15, 16 years, some of them over the 10-year period of the last 10 years. And you just try to keep away from them questions and keep yourself out of them conversations. So it's been tough, but that's one thing that COVID has definitely helped me with in terms of the lockdown. You had no choice. You were kind of, you're trying to reset and trying to kind of rebalance yourself. And I've come out of it. At this stage, I have to say I'm not missing it in any way or form, you know.
Oh, good. How did you find stepping away, Johnny, in that respect?
Yeah, a bit like Andy, I suppose. Yeah, the hardest thing was, you know, you remove yourself from the WhatsApp group. And that's like, you know, it's like a bolt of lightning just hits you and, you know, you're gone. Because inter-county football is, you are in a bubble. And everything you do, you know, whether it's your family takes second, your work takes second place. Everything you do is geared around trying to make a layer better. And then when it's like someone switches off a light switch, it's all over. And it can be difficult. I suppose from my point of view, I was 36 when I finished, so I was probably maybe stayed a year too long as well. But the fire had burned out in me. You know, I was the lads that I had, Dermot Early, Ronan Sweeney, these guys had moved on, and the dressing room had changed, as you'd expect. And then Kieran left, and, you know, I went back, but my heart really wasn't in it. So the time was right for me, and I didn't leave with any animosity. I wasn't told to go, and I found that was probably a bit easier, because I know several players, you know, felt they had something to offer, but a manager comes in, and maybe they don't fit into their plans, and you know, maybe leaves a sour taste in the mouth. I got away without that, which I'm very grateful for. It was time to go. But, you know, you get back into, I suppose, civilian life as such, and you just move in different circles. You know, I have a young family, and they take time, and I got back into the club, and all of a sudden, then you're spending more time with club mates and stuff like that, and you're maybe spending more time with the lads that you didn't really, not that you ever fell out with them in any stretch, or you'd see them a lot, but you probably just didn't mix as much. They were socialising and stuff like that that you didn't go out on a Saturday night. And for now, and I even found that was a big thing. I didn't even have to look around me. If I wanted to go for a pint on a Saturday night, I could go, you know. And at 36 years of age, people think, geez, are you mad? Or like, but you didn't feel guilty. You weren't, you know, and there's little things like that. I certainly didn't miss it. And, you know, you would talk to, go to matches and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe Kildare, it was good for my ego as well, Joe. Because maybe Kildare won't go well, and someone will come up to you, oh, they still could do with you, you know. That doesn't happen anymore. You get about 6 months of that, and it's gone. But look, when I finished, it was the right time for me to finish. And yes, you missed the big days in Croke Park, but did I miss the muck and the slop and winter football? Absolutely no. I drove by the training grounds several nights, and I just got a shiver. I said, thank God, I'm heading for home, you know.
Pull into the chipper on the way home.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, your record with Kildare was obviously ridiculous in that you played 67 consecutive championship matches. It just, injury seemed to be something you were able to ward off, or else your timing was good. But I was reading your Alan Wood career is fairly ridiculous as well. So your debut in 97, aged 18. I know your dad played for the club and he was chairman for a time as well. And you won the county championship for the first time in 04, which was obviously huge for the club, only founded in 1956, Alan Wood. But I was reading when a club official was saying in 22 years you didn't miss a championship match for Alan Wood either. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I suppose I made my league debut in 95. I played my championship debut in 96. And I haven't missed a championship match since. What's that down to? I'm not sure. I think I used to, when I was younger, you know, I came onto the Kildare team, I was just barely touching 10 stone. Very, very, like, no one would be let into a senior inter-county dressing room now that way. They just wouldn't be let in to be feared for their safety. So,
and you're not short either. What height are you?
No, just about 6'1" and a half.
And you were 10 stone?
Yeah, 10 stone, yeah, yeah. McGeaney, I got to about just over 12. McGeaney used to say, I can't believe you were 2 stone lighter. So, but look.
So I'd say Francie Bell, you saw you coming and said, come here, I'll have this twice.
Yeah, toothpick. but yeah, so, but I suppose as I get on, you know, the fact that I didn't pick up any injuries, you know, never broke a bone, never put a hamstring, you know, just very, very lucky. In my makeup, yes, lots of days I went out carrying knocks and niggles, but probably just didn't advertise them, just got on with it. And I always felt, you know, adrenaline would get you through when you were carrying little bits and pieces. So
did you try and put on weight, Johnny, because I'm sure you were told to?
Yeah, I did for a while. I did. I remember Johnny Crofton brought in a nutritionist, and I was there, you know, I need to get heavier. I was, at that time, the creatine was a big thing for inter-county footballers, and you were shoveling in, you were putting it on your cornflakes and everything. It was just, but I just couldn't. And Johnny brought in a nutritionist, and at the time she was working with Kilkenny, I think, as well. And I just said to her, look, no matter what I eat, and I had a good appetite, you know. And she said, maybe that's just the way you are. She said, remember her telling me Martin Comfort, in he was the very same, you know, and they called him Gorta, you know. But he just couldn't put it on, and she said, maybe it's just time to stop worrying about it and just get on. You're obviously able to hold your own and don't. And it was probably good advice, you know. I just got on with it. Even, you know, while I did get a bit stronger, obviously, with weights, the longer, you know, weights were becoming more and more. I never really, really put on huge bulk, but probably with age you got a bit stronger and stuff like that. But, you know, just I stopped worrying about it, to be honest with you, John. I said, just get on with it.
There you go. Andy, everyone's cursing him. He can't put on weight and just, you know, didn't miss a game, did his thing. You were kind of the opposite. I always suspected you were very hardworking, diligent in the gym. And obviously you had your fair share of injuries as well. So you were almost opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I was opposite in terms of putting on weight as well, to be honest with you. I'd still have that issue. But, yeah, I was kind of... like the injuries kind of hit me when I was about 27, and then I kind of went on a run of 3 or 4 injuries. But I know it sounds daft because they were significant injuries in terms of breaking a leg, cruciate, lower back issues. But after that, like either side of that, I actually had a really clean run.
Right.
And I know that sounds daft.
No, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
When it was bad, it was very bad.
Yeah. So I had 3 years, 4 years there of really bad stuff, but either side it was good, and very, very rarely missed games as well. Played a lot of games in that period where I literally wasn't fit. I was playing 60-70%, so things like that. But Johnny, like, I think he's hit the nail on the head there in terms of that nutritionist just goes, listen, you seem to be able to hold your own here. John, don't be trying to change it. I think everyone is trying to change everything in the game at the minute. Everyone is trying to look for that little thing that's going to make a difference to the likes of a Johnny Doyle and say, I did that for them and I did this for them. Mm. Like Johnny Doyle was scoring, sorry now for talking about you like this, but Johnny, you were scoring like in 2004, 2005, 2006, you were always scoring points, always one of the highest scorers in the championship when you got a run at it. So I think people are too eager to change body type, body shape, speed, power, positions, everything, where sometimes you just need to look at your strengths and kind of develop them. So it was a really good bit of advice, I would say, that the nutritionist Kevin, and I would say the same about myself. When I actually, and you've probably heard me saying this before, when I actually got out of my own way and stopped trying to change everything about myself and just kind of worked on the things I was decent at, all of a sudden it took hold, you know?
Am I right in saying, Johnny, you ran a marathon last October as well?
Yeah, I ran a marathon in October, yeah. A few of my buddies from home decided, and we were down in the local one night, and I got him talking about that I'd never done any running, and he was saying he was back running. I said, yes, we should do the marathon. And I got a phone call. He said, the next morning, I said, do you realise we're after signing up for the marathon? I said, yes, did we? So on we went and we did it, yeah. So
I'd say you're made for that. I'd say you're made for that. You look like long distance running you'd find easy, no?
Yeah, I would definitely would. Like, I suppose it would have, you know, as I said, you weren't lugging around heavyweight, it made things easier. I mean, you know, I would have come in and started with Mick O'Dwyer, and obviously Mick was famous for his laps, and you know, that was easy stuff for me at that time, you know.
Per Glenn Ryan down the back.
Absolutely. Or you know, I don't know how them boys did it, because Mikko had this thing about, you know, we'd start and we'd do 10 laps and then we'd change it tonight and we'd go 10 laps the other way and stuff like that, which was, you know, it's mad stuff, but made no difference to me. But, you know, and you'd have some lads at the opposite end of the scale, or, but he used to call them the fatties, you know. We'd get the fatties to do a few extra, you know. So after doing 20 laps and lads struggling and I'd barely a bead of sweat going off me, he'd send Carol and Brian Murphy and these guys around for another couple of laps just to make them sweat a bit more, which was, and we'd be tapping away at the ball at the goals, and I don't know how to do that.
Before I let you go, we had planned really just to have a club chat and see how things went that opening weekend, but just by coincidence we have two of the best inside forwards that we've seen over the last 20 years. Obviously the position changed a lot over time. Can you give us a sense, Andy, of how your game might have changed? And both of you take this the right way. I would see you as both players who got better with age. You know, I mean, kept improving, kept having bigger effects on games. And you're footballer of the year, what, in your early to mid-30s, Andy. I would think I think darting runs all the time, all action. Give us your sense of the position and how it did change.
Yeah, I think it's one of the positions that fascinates me, because when people talk about football being in a bad state, like I look at Bernard Brogan, Conor McManus, Kieran Donnie, Gooch, all these guys who, like Conor Callan, now Joe Kelly, and all these fellas who just, Joe, you know, I think we're seeing Clifford, like we're seeing some of the best players that have played the game over the last, you know, 20, 30 years. And sometimes when people say, you know, that the game is in a bad, I'm saying, are you watching the same game as I'm watching, really, do you know? But how the position has changed, I think the evolution of the sweeper and maybe the double sweeper, all of a sudden the element of speed that was in the game. So if you were really fast corner forward and you were quicker than your corner back and there was no protection there, and you take your man on or you go to, you know, win the ball, you're going to win that race. It's as simple as that. That's just the speed of it. But now all of a sudden there's a sweeper in, just say the Donegal team of 2012, where you had Mark McHugh always kind of defending from the strong side. Now all of a sudden you have to come up with a different way of winning the ball. That's either coming on the loop, or it's a double run or a treble run, and little things like that. And I think it just kind of, it just moved slightly with that. We had in North Six, we had Donaghy going long with the ball and taking out the sweeper, and then all of a sudden you just teams playing it into channels, looking for different ways around it. So you're saying that me and Johnny got a bit better. We probably thought a tiny bit more about the game in terms of how we can get there. Like, particularly for myself, I was a slower player. I didn't have much speed, so I had to kind of think, how best could we get the ball? Who's on the ball? Where are they going to kick it? And I think that's the way it's changed slightly. But you look at some of the best players, and I mentioned that Donegal team, and you mentioned McFadden, who was electric in 2012. You look at the playmakers outside him. You had a Lacey at number wore six, but played five, really. You had a Mark McHugh, and you obviously had a Murphy at times outside him as well, giving him in that good ball too. So it depends how you play the team. A lot of teams then play with three running halfbacks. If you play with that, you know, how do you want your forwards to be moving? And it's all kind of systems based now, and it depends how you kind of view the game and how the manager viewed the game and where do they want you to play.
What was your experience, Johnny?
Yeah, well, I'd be somewhat similar to Andy. You know, I probably spent maybe as much time in the half forward line as I did in the full forward line, and I'm laughing at Andy saying he was slow. Just if he was slow, doesn't need much time. Much for me, but I'd be very much like Andy, you know. Like, I think the game is always evolving, and you know, obviously now there's so much analysing of the games. Every team has a full-time analyst in. They're looking. The game hasn't changed. You know, you look at your strengths. What's your strengths? You look at the opposition strengths. Where can we nullify them? You know, and there's loads and loads of examples of that. You know, Andy mentioned Kieran Donaghy. You know, Kerry didn't come to say, well, we're going to, rewrite the book here and let's see, do something different. I saw a big guy at 6'5" and a great ball winner and probably a very selfless player in the fact that the first thing he did when he won the ball was to see, can I get it to the main man around me? Which often left him with more space maybe than he was able to capitalise that on that himself. But, you know, first time he'd come to ground, he's looking to slip it to the goose. So that's, I don't know, is that rewriting the game of Gaelic football? No, to me it's not. It's about what asset do we have here and how best we can utilise them.
Yeah.
You know, Mayo.
Have we lost you there? You gone, Johnny, or are you back? Might be just gone.
Well, just to go on Johnny's point there, Joe, it's the big one is that they're just playing to the players you have at your disposal, playing to their strengths. And I think that's the key point, and I think that's the key point Johnny was trying to make, and it's a point that I totally agree with. Like, if you see, so if you looked at the Mayo team that I was part of, like, if I was expected to run after the cornerback, the likes of Philly McMahon and Johnny Cooper and these guys running up the field, I would, Mark O'Shea, you know, and these guys, there's no way I would have been able to do that. So Jason Doherty, who was like a dream to play with, like, he used to protect me in that way so I could stay further up the field, you know. So it's all about just kind of management systems, putting the right system in place for your players to kind of develop in that, similar to a Donaghy, similar to a Johnny Doyle and things like that. And I think that's the key thing. And has the inside forward place changed slightly in the way you have to move, but the guys who are confident enough to stay in their position, stay inside the 21, stay closer to the goal, and I probably developed that later in my career, but the likes of the Gooch and these guys who could have had for their whole career, Bernard Brogan and these guys, they just, you know, I think that's the key kind of confidence to have to stay high up the field.
It's funny, Colm Cooper was in here a couple of years ago and I asked him what was the most important thing about playing the position when he was in that inside forward line position, and he said patience and confidence to go 20 minutes in a game without touching it. You know, can you hold your nerve? And you've taken the words right out of his mouth there. Final one, because I know you've got to go. So you're back open for business. I know you've gone out on your own now and things seem to be going very well. I mean, geez, beautiful timing of a pandemic as you're trying to get it all off the ground. What's the state of play at the moment?
Ah, yeah, we're good. We've got the three places back open. It's the amount of demand for it is unreal. Like, so we all thought we were going to go online and we kind of seen what you did with all kind of sports stories and things like that. We thought we were all going to go online and that we'd have to kind of push out. But the amount of people who want social interaction and need it in a safe environment is massive. And like we do our classes, and our class were 100% capacity there for about 2-3 weeks. Now they're calming down now, but really in a kind of controlled environment, people staying in kind of their own zone, wiping down their equipment as they do. And little things like that, just it's different. But the key thing for us is that everyone is back at work, the three places are back open, and you know, we just kind of need to bring it forward kind of in as safely as we can for kind of staff and our members.
Good. Well, listen, best of luck with it. So look, Johnny Doyle is putting everybody to shame at 42 years of age, trotting around marathons, never missing a game. Are you going to still be playing club action for Ballyhadrine into your 40s? What's the plan? How's the body?
The body is only middling, if I'm being honest. I tried to do that running crack during the pandemic. You know, I tried to, we did this challenge where in the gym where we did 10Ks for 10 days in a row. Oof. Like I was at about day 6, you know, and like I was struggling, but we got through it. Do I say I like it? No, I don't. I won't be running any marathons anytime soon. Played the game against Davids on Saturday. Sunday was an interesting day as well. But no, this year was supposed to be my last year playing for the club. But John, it's a 6 weeks turnaround, and we might give it one more next year. We'll see how we go. But all depending how the family and the kids and all that are going on and work and little things like that. And I really want to get into the kind of coaching side of it as well. So kind of try to develop that and same thing. If I can do both together, I'll play. But if I can't, I'll move on, you know.
Okay, good man. You're keeping busy. Listen, thanks so much for the time. I know you're running to do a class as we speak. So Andy Moran of Ballyhadrine, there very much. Thanks a million, Andy. And thanks to Johnny Doyle as well of Allenwood. Cheers, fellas. We'll take a break.